You are listening to 1440 in Fort Worth, Texas. For more information, visit 1440.com.
How many of you have ever wondered, does God speak? Anybody? How many of you know God speaks? Everybody here know God speaks? How many of you ever wondered, does he have a plan for my life? Like, what is my calling? What am I supposed to do? Has anyone asked yourself or God that lately? Anytime? Well, I ask myself that a lot. So we're starting a new series, and it's called Path to Purpose. And through this series, we're going to identify what God's plan is, like not just for me, but that he has a plan. He doesn't just sit up there and decide each day what he's going to do and, oh, I think I'm going to do this and I'm going to have those two have this thing happen. And he has a plan. So he's not just up there winging it. Do you guys understand that? Like, there is a plan. And so because there's a plan, each one of you has a plan. And within that plan, there's an assignment that only you can fill. It's not one that if I say, the Lord says, Jen, this is what I want you to do. That's for me. And that's for me to fulfill. And that's why I'm here to do that. And so he has that exact same plan for every each one of you. And so in this series, we're going to talk about what is that plan and what am I supposed to do and how do I stick to that path? How do I stay on that path? But before we can even figure out what that plan is, we have to figure out how to identify the plan, right? Like we have to know, okay, Lord, you speak. So you're speaking to me. So how do I know that I can hear your voice? And so tonight we're going to be talking about hearing the voice of the Lord. By knowing that, we can move on to asking him different things. Lord, what am I supposed to do? And so if anything, I want this to be an encouragement to you that he is speaking. You do hear him. I know so many times people say, oh, well, the Lord doesn't speak to me. You know, that's he speaks to my pastor and my pastor will tell me things. The Lord is speaking to you. Genesis 1:26 is the first one I'll go to in just a little bit. But in verse 3 of the Bible, it says, God said. So he's speaking all the time. It's just a matter of if we're listening. So let's turn to Galatians 4:7. Let's turn to Galatians 4:7. And it says, now you are no longer a slave, but God's own child. And since you are his child, everything he has belongs to you. So the first part in identifying the Lord speaking is knowing that you have the spiritual ability to hear God. It's not for selective people. It's not only for a certain few that you have the ability. It says you are God's own and everything he has belongs to you. We've talked about possessions a lot and that we have storehouses built up, but it's not just what he has for us tangibly. It's what he knows, his knowledge. He has wisdom and he wants you to have it. If you think about your parents, how many of you ever heard your parents, you know, say, I'm responsible to teach you these things. Or even if you don't want to hear this, I'm going to tell you that. And they all go up. Yes. Because, and you probably heard this before, Proverbs, train up a child in the way they should go. And that's what your parents are here to do, is to train you up. Now that's not just to make sure you're fed, to make sure you get from point A to point B, to make sure you're clothed. That's also to impart wisdom to you, to give you knowledge, to teach you how to walk through life. How many of you have made mistakes and they're like, here, let me show you how to do it this way. And so that's what parents are for. So our heavenly Father, he's called a father, isn't just here to make sure that we have all of our needs met physically. He's here to make sure that we're emotionally met, that we have the knowledge of Christ. It says, I have the mind of Christ, so I can have all that knowledge that he has, but it's just a matter if I'm listening to it or not. And so right here, it says that everything he has belongs to us. Why? Because I'm a child. And so the moment you said, Lord, come into my life, that made you a child of God. And so that qualifies you to hear from him. From the moment you were born to your parents and they started talking to you, even though they couldn't quite understand you, that qualified you to be their child. And so by accepting Jesus in your heart, that's what qualifies you. Not a degree in theology, not being a minister or someone set apart like a monk, but that you are a child of God. So you have that ability. Let's look at John 10:1.
Yeah! It
says, I assure you, anyone who speaks over the wall of a sheepfold rather than going through the gate must surely be a thief and a robber. For a shepherd enters through the gate. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear the voice and come to him. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. So let's stop here for a second. Verse 2, the shepherd enters the gate. So the gate into the doors of the kingdom of heaven. So Jesus paved the way so that we could go into the kingdom of heaven. So when it's talking right here, it's saying that the gatekeeper, God, heaven, the gatekeeper opens the door for the shepherds. So shepherd being God. And then it says, and the sheep hear his voice and come to him. So when we identified, I need a savior in my life, you went to him and he made you his own. And so that's what they're talking about here is the door opening. You now have your pathway to heaven because Jesus paved that way for you. And then it says, he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. After he has gathered his own flock, he walks ahead of them. They follow him because they recognize his voice. They will not follow a stranger. They will not run from him because they didn't because they don't recognize his voice. I was reading a little excerpt the other day about sheep and hearing their shepherd's voice. And the sheep are trained to hear their shepherd's voice. It's not the commands that they're trained to hear. It is the actual voice of the shepherd. How many of you have gone to a friend's house and they have a dog and no matter what you do and you're like, stop, stay down, stop. The dog's still jumping on you and the owner can be like, stop. And the dog just stops in its spot. You're saying all the same words or even a child. You know, there's those little kids that are like, you're not my mom. You're not my dad. Not that that's right, but at the same time, they know who mommy is. They know who daddy is. And if that was mommy or daddy, they'd be like, oh, yes, I am. And they'd be like, yes, ma'am. You know what I'm talking about? It's because they know their parents' voice. That dog knows its owner's voice. That sheep knows its shepherd's voice. How does it know its voice? Spending time with it. Those sheep spend all their life with that shepherd. So when the shepherd says, go here, they follow him. If he doesn't go before them, there's a few that might wander off, but for the most part, those sheep stick together. And so that's when this isn't just some cool analogy the Lord came up with. Like, this is really how shepherds and sheep work. And if you study that, you will see that they will not obey anyone else except their shepherd. If someone was to come up to them and say, go do this to the sheep, they just stand there because you're not their shepherd. They could give the exact same commands and it's not the command they're looking for. They're looking for that voice. How many of you, well, we have caller ID now, so that really just throws it out the door. But when you answer a phone call or you call your brother, your mom or dad, your best friend, do you always say, hi, this is Jennifer. Hi, this is David. Or do you just, hi, and just start talking to them? Most of the time you don't identify yourself because you know there's caller ID. But even if there wasn't caller ID, you know, back in those non-caller ID home phone days, anyone ever had a home phone? I'm like, okay, we're not that far gone yet. Got it. Okay. But you know what I'm talking about, that you know someone's voice. Why? Because you've spent time with them. Because you know who they are. And that's the same thing here, is you know your father's voice by spending time with him. And so when it talks about you have the spiritual ability to hear God, it's not only that you're born into his family, but the more time you spend with him, the more you're going to hear his voice and the more clear that's going to become. And so it's not something that he's waiting for you to figure out or hoping you'll get that mathematical equation to hear exactly what he's saying or waiting for that writing on the wall. He's saying, I'm speaking to you. Learn to hear my voice. Just like your mom and dad would yell from the other room, David, please go help your brother with his homework. You're like, I don't know if that was mom or dad or not. You know the voice of your parents. Just like if you got this knowing in your heart, David, go left today. Do not go right on your way to church. He'd be like, okay, I'm going to go there. And that's how easy the voice of the Lord can be, is this knowing. And so we'll get to that part. But there are five different ways I'm going to talk about hearing the voice of the Lord. And there's many ways that he can speak, but these are the five most common. The first two, not so common, but it happens. Number one is God speaks. And I'm not just like, I know it says hearing the voice of God, that he speaks, but like audibly speaks. And if you turn to Genesis, I referenced this a little earlier. Genesis 1:3 says, then God said, let there be light. And that was in the very beginning of creation. But that's the first page of my Bible is God said. And then I turned the page and I started looking. Verse 4, God said. Verse 8, God called. Verse 9, God said. Verse 11, God said. Verse 14, God said. Verse 16, for God. So as you see, it continues to say, God said, God said, God said, God said. So he was a very open communicator. He was very direct about what he wanted, and he would speak it all the time. And so, although today we're like, how many of you have heard an audible voice of God? A few of you have. Okay. Now, how many of you have not heard an audible voice of God? How many of you heard God speak to you, though? Okay, so you do not have to hear an audible voice of the Lord. But this is one way that he does it. But just because he speaks to someone one way doesn't mean that he's not speaking to you. And so a lot of times we say, oh, well, they heard that, or they got this vision, or they had this dream. So, Lord, why don't you speak to me? You're all uniquely and individually created. I wouldn't want the Lord to talk to me the exact same way that he talks to you, because it's a personal relationship. How I interact with my best friend is a little different than I interact with my other friend. But at the same time, they're both very close to me and I'm communicating to them, but it's not in the same way. Do you know what I'm talking about? Same way as with God, that he has a personal relationship with you. So he's not going to deal with you the same way. How many of you have heard Jesse Duplantis speak? Anyone? The way he talks about his relationship with God and how he's the joking relationship they have and the humor in that, he talks to God like he would talk to his friend, like his buddy. And just the same with you and me, we have that personal relationship with God, and that's how this develops. So a lot of times when you're like, God, was that you? You've heard someone say God has a sense of humor. God has a sense of humor. He's a fun guy. He wants you to have fun. He doesn't want to just stand up there and rule with the fist and say, bad sinner, because he doesn't look at us as a sinner. He looks at us as righteous, right? But we know that. There's so many Christians out there that don't know that. And so the more we spend time with him, the more we get to know him, we realize he wants good things for me. He actually wants me to succeed. Just like your parents are like, we want you to graduate school. We want you to succeed in life. He's saying, I want you to succeed in life. And so he wants good things for you. But if we would just spend time listening to the people out there who don't believe that, we're going to be hearing the lies, but we have to hear it for ourselves. And it says God speaks. And so some of you raised your hand, and that's awesome. But some of you didn't, but that doesn't mean you don't hear from him. And that's why I wanted to show a few different things. That's a little less common based on the five hands that went up to the other 100 that are in here, that he audibly speaks to you. But he's still speaking. The next one is writing on the wall. Did any of you know that Jesus wrote on the wall? A few of you knew that? Let's turn to Daniel. Thank you, Elizabeth. Daniel 5, verse 24. God has sent this hand to write a message. This is the message that was written. Okay. Mini, mini, tikal parson. Yep, that's what he said. Mini, mini, tikal parson. This is what that means. Mini means numbered. God has numbered the days of your reign and has brought it to an end. Tikal means weighed. You have been weighed on the balance and have failed the test. Parsin means divided. Your kingdom has been divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. There we go. And so this is Daniel. It says, then Belshazzar commanded Daniel and was dressed him in robes. And so he became promoted. And so he was looked at for counsel. And then all of a sudden, the Lord's writing this on the wall. How many of you have seen writing on the wall? Few of you have seen writing on the wall, but still not as many as the others. This is one way he speaks to you, but it doesn't always happen. But so many times when we go through life, and I've heard it more in the stage that I'm in, you know, when people are identifying the one and if they're supposed to get married or where they're supposed to move and what job they're supposed to take, they're like, Lord, if you would just speak to me and tell me this is the one, or if you would just give me a sign. But if the Lord has never spoken to you that way before, why would you expect him to change the way he's communicating to you? I'm not saying he can't and that he won't. But if he's always communicated to you one way, and then you put the stipulation on him, like, I'm kind of tired of hearing it this way, so if you could just tell me this way, that would be awesome. And so that's what a couple of these things are. These are the two that I've seen the most, where people are like, Lord, if you could just audibly tell me what to do, I will do it. As if you won't listen to him in any other way, because that's the way I want to hear it from you. Or if you could just show me a sign. If you could make it rain. Have you heard about the story of the fleece in the Old Testament? If you'd rain on the fleece, but not around the fleece, then I'll know that this is you. Okay, since you can do that, just want to double check. So if you could rain around the fleece, but not on the fleece, then I will really know it's you. And then you're like, okay, that's awesome. Now I've heard from the Lord. But all the same time, he's probably communicating it in many other ways. They were just putting that stipulation on him. And so I'm not saying we can't believe. I want to hear the voice of the Lord. I would love to have an audible encounter, a vision in the middle of the night, waking up and having a dream and having him be right there. I would love to just say, Lord, give me a sign. And there's like that blinking sign in the window, you know, like you drive by different places and they just have this blinking sign. That would be awesome. But I still know that I hear from the Lord if I did not have those things. And so I wanted to share those with you because some of you have experienced those, and I'd love to hear a story about it and hear testimonies. But for the most part, there's three other ways that he speaks, and all of you can experience that. So let's turn to 2 Peter 1:20. Woo! The third way God speaks is his written word. So how many of you have your Bibles? Hold it up. This is God speaking to you. This is his word. Say, this is his word. And I receive it. This word is God speaking to you. And so I'm going to go over to 2 Peter. I'll read it from my notes, actually, since I'm there. 2 Peter 1:20 says, above all, you must understand that no prophecy in Scripture ever came from the prophets themselves or because they wanted to prophesy. It was the Holy Spirit who moved the prophets to speak from God. So a lot of times when people are going through the Bible, I've heard different people break it apart, like, well, the red letters, how many have a red letter edition in your Bible? Red letters, for those of you who didn't know, that's Jesus speaking. So when there's a red letter, it says it's Jesus speaking. That's just an easy indication that Jesus spoke these words. But then on the flip side, people, I've heard the argument that if it's not in red letters, then it's kind of open for interpretation because Jesus didn't specifically say it. And so that's why I wanted to point out to this scripture that it's saying all of this word is spoken by the Holy Spirit, and that's how it was written. And so there was people like you and me, just like Kenneth Copeland writes a book. He receives a word from the Lord, and he writes the book. There was prophets who received words from the Lord, and they wrote these books. And so this is still the word of God, even if it's not in red letters. But those red letters help us know exactly what Jesus said, to know his stories, to know his experiences. And so that's really helpful, but it doesn't mean discount anything that's written in black, or if it's on your phone that you can scroll through, that it's in type. That doesn't discount it. But that everything in here is the word of God. So this is him telling you, this is my wisdom. We say, Lord, what's your wisdom? It's right here. And I know many of you are like, well, I asked for an answer yesterday. I don't have time to read all 1,200 pages today. But that's where all the other days where you didn't have a question or you didn't need an immediate answer, you're spending time with him so that when you do need answers, it's already on the inside of you. You already know the answer. It's just like school. You're studying for tests, and then one day you have to prove that you've read it all. But you don't wait till that day to read all, well... Some of us don't wait till that day to read everything. Here, let me just give you something free. When you know a test is coming, start studying when it's like assigned. Don't wait till the night before. Got it? You're like, yeah, easier said than done. I told you, so now you're accountable to know what I just said. All right, let's look at Psalms 119, 105. We talked about light a while ago. This scripture says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Okay, so his word, this, is part of my path. It's supposed to direct me. So what does that mean? That means if it was to get dim in here, and I can still see the light right here. Who can see the light? Anyone see the light? See them all right there? See the light? Ooh, thank you. See, it goes up the stairs. Oh, it's up there now. Okay, so this light gives direction, right? Oh, I'm sorry. Here, let me go this way. There we go. There's an L. Okay, so where there's light, that's where my focus is supposed to be, right? It says, your word is a lamp to my feet are right here. So your word is a lamp to my feet and a light. Here's my path. Or my path could go there. But right now my path is here because then I won't hurt anyone's eyes except maybe Jordan. Okay. So looking at this light, this is a visual image. It's saying that his word is lighting my path. So as I'm reading this, I'm expecting answers. I'm expecting direction because it says that it will light my path. So you can turn the lights up now so I don't hurt anyone else's eyes. But it's literally like I used to think when I graduated from Oral Roberts University, that's actually what Richard Roberts wrote in my Bible. The word is a lamp to your feet. I'm like, oh, that's cute. But you don't really meditate on scripture because you've heard it so many times. So the other day I was like, I'm going to get a flashlight out. And I'm like, a lamp unto my feet. So I'm like, this is supposed to guide me. It's supposed to lead me. What does light do? It illuminates. It reveals things to you. So that's exactly what this word is supposed to do, is reveal things to you. But we're supposed to expect that. We're supposed to know that when I open this, I'm going to get something out of it. That it's not just words on a page, but that it's going to have revelation. It's going to come to life inside of me. And that's what this word is. Let's look at Psalms 33, verse 4. I'm going to give you a lot of scripture tonight. It says, for the word of the Lord holds true, and everything he does is worthy of our trust. So it says, the word of the Lord holds true. If you go back to Isaiah 40, verse 8, it says, the grass withers, the flowers fade, but the word of the Lord stands forever. So this was written thousands of years ago, but I still have it. Now, this exact Bible didn't exist 2,000 years ago. But the words on the page did. And so there's a lot of flowers that have died in the last 2,000 years. There's a lot of grass that hasn't quite made it. But this word has made it, and it's made it through. And so this does not change. It says he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So when we talked earlier about him speaking how many times in the first chapter of the Bible, he can do that today. But we don't expect it all the time. And so that's what I'm saying tonight, is to expect it, because he's capable of all these things, but there's so many different noises around us and things going on that sometimes we tune him out instead of tuning those things out. Let's look at Colossians 3:16. Yeah. Woo! It says, let the words of Christ and all their richness live in your hearts and make you wise. Use this word to teach and counsel each other. So the words of Christ, it says their richness. So that's supposed to bring value to your life. It says to live in your hearts and make you wise. So when I read something in here, how many of you have favorite scriptures? Like you could just spout it out and you don't have to, you could give me the reference, but you don't have to look it up in here. And that's, it's inside of you. It's planted on the inside of you. And so that's how the word of the Lord is when you study it, it becomes part of you. It becomes a way you think. And that's why we talk about renewing your mind, because this is the truth. And so some of you would say, well, how do I know if something's in the word? Spend time in the word. Read the word. How many of you have a best friend? How many of you spend a lot of time with your best friend? Not too many hands went down. I have some friends that live out of state, and it's kind of harder to hang out with them than here. But for the most part, when you have a relationship with somebody, you spend time with that person. And that's how you get to know their voice. That's how you get to know their thoughts, is based on what they would say. How many of you have a cell phone? Yeah? Okay, it has caller ID on it. Yep, I'm going to use my cell phone right now in the middle of church. Right? Okay. Nope, because I make the rules. No, I'm kidding. All right, so I have a text message right now, and it says, Benny. Yep, it says Benny with a B, not Jenny, but Benny. Benny, I hope you have a wonderful evening. I'm praying for you, smiley face. Now, I know that that's my brother talking, because only Jonathan would call me Benny. But his picture's not on my phone. It's not an audible voice, but I know that that's my brother that sent it. And so just like so many times we're like, there's different ways people talk. He left me a voicemail today. Hi, Benny. He pretty much says it all the time. Hi, Benny. Tag, you're it. He doesn't have to say, hey, it's Jonathan, your brother, you know, the one from Washington State. He just says, hi, Benny. And I'm like, oh, it's Jonathan. I don't even have to see a missed call from him. I don't have to know that it was him other than his voice. But this text message is enough. I don't need to call him right now. I mean, I really could. And say, could you just say that, like, verbally, just so I know that you meant it? And the same is with his word. He says all these things in here, and we're like, you know, could you just say it out loud for me? I'd really just love to hear your voice. And that's awesome to expect it, but it doesn't mean we discount these text messages that we get. When you get a text message from someone, do you believe that it's from that someone? And how many know when someone's stolen someone else's phone and you're like, no, right? Facebook hacked, you know, you're like, ooh, no, I surely hope they didn't post that just now. You know, and then all of a sudden, I apologize if any of you got this in your inbox. I didn't send it. I'm really sorry. It's really bad. You know when someone else is a counterfeit to your friend or a counterfeit to the person send you a message. And so that's the same with the Lord, is he has this word, and it's the truth. But so many times we want to hear it another way. But if we spend time in this, that's how we're going to know his voice, is by reading this, getting to know him, and saying, okay, that's my Father's voice. Do you get that? The next one, number four, the way he talks to us is the Holy Spirit. And this is called the guide inside. Have any of you heard of that inward witness, that still small voice? Have you heard about that? So many times people dismiss that. But I would venture to say that that's probably one of the most common ways that he's going to speak to you. It says in, let's look at John 14:15. Woo! Woo! Okay, John 14:15. I no longer call you servants because a master does not confide. That's 15. 14, 15. If you love me, obey my commandments. I just got a text message from someone calling me Benny. Thank you, Tabitha, for that. All right, phone down. Okay. It says, and I will, if you love me, obey my commandments, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads you into all truth. The world at large cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and does not recognize him. But you do, because he lives with you now and will later be in you. No, I will not abandon you as orphans. I will come to you. And so when he left this earth, he left us with the Holy Spirit. So when you said, like we talked about earlier, you became a child of God. When he put that, you accepted him, the Holy Spirit is in you. He is in you. So many times we're thinking, you know, Lord, was that you? Did I hear you right? And or someone has said, did you hear from the Lord? And you're like, well, not audibly. We need to be confident in that even though we didn't hear him audibly, that you still hear from him. And so when he's speaking and someone says, did you hear from the Lord? You don't have to shy away and be like, well, it wasn't audible. Be confident in, yes, I heard from the Lord. And be confident in that voice that's in you, because that is how he's speaking to you. Let's look at Romans 8:14. Yeah. It says, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. So if we flip this around, it says all who are led by the Spirit are children. So then for all who are children of God are led by the Spirit. So if you're a child of God, you're led by the Spirit. That's what qualifies you right there, is being that child. And so you can be led. And in verse 16, it says, for his Spirit speaks to us deep in our hearts and tells us that we're God's dear children. So that Spirit's speaking to you in your hearts. So many times we get this thought that the Lord's going to speak from the outside in, and that it's going to come through our ears and drop into our heart. But it's really the opposite. He's speaking to you on the inside, and that's what manifests into those thoughts. Your ears aren't the spiritual mechanism. Do you understand that? Do you get that? That we're not waiting for it to come outward and come in, but that it's already inside of us. And so when we tap into that and know what that sounds like, know what that feels like. And when I say feels like, you know what that uneasy, this is wrong, I shouldn't do this is. And then you know what that confident, this is the voice of the Lord. And so you start testing those things. So an example, how many of you, if you're out and about, and you're given an option to do right or wrong, you can kind of hear your parents in your head going, oh, don't do that. Or if you do this, this will happen. It's the same way with the Lord. If we're hearing his voice and we're asking, Lord, should I do this or that? Then we go through the process of identifying his voice. The same way you would identify mom and dad's voice. Or if someone came to you and said, hey, your friend wanted me to tell you such and such. And you're like, my friend would never say that. You're like, that does not sound like them. And so the more time we spend in this word, the more time we listen to that Holy Spirit, we can be like, that doesn't sound like my Father. That's not the way he leads me. That's not how I'm instructed by him. And so not only is this guide inside something that directs you and leads you, but it's always speaking. It's always there. It says, I will never leave you. And so we need to tap into that to identify what is that for me personally. Instead of going, well, when my friend gets it, it kind of sounds or feels like this. Identifying, Lord, what is that on the inside of me? Because you don't generally hear it with your head. You're going to hear it with your heart. And so many times we associate that with feelings. It's not feelings. It's just a knowing. It's just that, how many of you have known something is about to happen, but you had no factual base for it? Does anyone know what I'm talking about? Like things happen and you anticipated it, but you had no way of physically knowing. There's no one who reported it to you. There's no one who informed you. You didn't read it somewhere. You just knew in your spirit that something was going to happen. And that's what the Holy Spirit is giving you that knowing. Let's turn to John 16. Verse 13. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. And the Amplified says, the whole, full truth. For he will not speak his own message on his own authority. He will tell whatever he hears from the Father. He will give the message that has been given to him, and he will announce and declare to you the things that are to come. So even just before I go any farther in that, the Holy Spirit is receiving that from the Father. He says, I'm leaving you with the Comforter. He's the one that's interceding on your behalf. You know, when you pray in the Spirit and you're like, Lord, I don't know what I'm speaking. That's by faith saying, Lord, I'm going to receive. I'm praying what the Spirit's going to interpret for me, and I'm going to receive that from you. And so that's the Spirit saying, I'm on the inside, and I'm going to tell you these things. And so many times we're looking for it out here like it's going to come some other form when it's just right here. It's right on the inside. It's that knowing. Verse 14, he will honor and glorify me because he will take, receive, and draw upon what is mine, and he will reveal, declare, disclose, and transmit to me. So he's promising that he will reveal these to you. He will transmit. He will give it to you. Verse 15, everything that the Father has is mine. And we talked about that earlier. It's not just talking about world tangible gifts. It's talking about the knowledge that is he's wanting to impart into you, the wisdom, those secret things. He wants to give it all to you freely. And then it says, that is what I meant when I said, he, the Spirit, will take these things that are mine and reveal, declare, disclose, and transmit them to you. And so that is him saying, I promise to tell you these things. I promise to reveal them to you. But it's a matter of us saying, Lord, I'm going to listen. There's so many times where I've been praying and I audibly, you know, with my English language, I pray something and then I sit still for a minute and then I start praying in tongues, waiting for him to respond. Tongues is still a prayer. It's interceding. It's still asking and praying for something. So when we're wanting an answer, the best thing to do is to just be quiet. But how many of you have ever spent time just being quiet? Like how, a few of you have? Okay, that's awesome. Because I know that a lot of times I give it maybe that split second. You know, like I want a quick response. You know, just like I would say, David, what are you doing after church tonight? Okay, so anyways, and you move right on because he didn't respond right then. Instead of giving him some time to respond, so many times it's like, Lord, okay, well, he didn't answer right then, so I'm going to keep moving on. Instead of being still in his presence and saying, I'm going to wait on you. It says, wait on the Lord. In Psalms, it says it a lot, wait on the Lord. So many times we're that microwave generation. I love things fast, but how many know the crock pot meals taste so much better than TV dinners? Yes? Yes. But we have this TV dinner generation. Just, I'm hungry. Just give me the food now. And you're like, but if I wait for the crock pot, it's going to taste so much better. You're like, no, it is true. You can disagree, but it's true. It is true. Thank you. Awesome. Crock pots are awesome. And TV dinners are okay. But I'm giving the analogy that so many times we want instant results. We're not willing to wait for something. And so that's what I'm talking about here is we so many times are like, Lord, answer me. But we keep on talking and we keep on praying and we keep on communicating instead of just being quiet in his presence. Let's look at Romans 8:26. I'm almost there. And the Holy Spirit helps us in our distress, for we don't even know what we should pray or how we should pray, but the Holy Spirit prays for us in groanings that cannot be expressed in words. And the Father who knows all hearts knows what the Spirit is saying, and the Spirit pleads for us in harmony with God's will. And we know all things work together for good because God causes them for those who are called according to his purpose. And so in here, there's times we don't know what to pray. There was a few days ago, there was a situation, and I really didn't know how to pray. Like, I knew what I wanted to pray, but I knew that that wasn't the Lord's will for me to pray for someone in that way. It was my flesh coming up. And so I was like, Lord, how do I pray? And my roommate was seeking answers on something, and she was like, Jen, how do I know what I'm supposed to do? And I was like, well, let's get in the Word. And so I looked at it, and I said, we're supposed to pray in our spirit, because it says He will reveal things to us. And there's times we don't know what to pray, or we have these feelings, and I want to pray this way, but we know that's not in accordance with His will. And so when we pray in the Spirit, that's yielding to Him. That's putting faith in Him that He knows what I need, He knows what I'm asking, and I'm going to trust Him to answer. And so that's in the same situation for us, is when we want answers, or when we know we're supposed to pray for something, but those words just aren't coming. We don't just stop and ignore it. We just press into the Holy Spirit, and then those answers are going to come. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 2:10. It says, "But we know these things because God has revealed them to us by His Spirit. His Spirit searches out everything and shows us God's deep secrets. No one can know what anyone else is thinking except the person alone. And no one can know God's thoughts except God's own Spirit. And God has actually given us His Spirit, not the world's Spirit, so that we know the wonderful things that He has freely given us. We tell you this, we do not use the words of human wisdom. We speak words given to us by the Spirit, using the Spirit's words to explain these spiritual truths." So right there, it's explaining the difference between our human words and the words of the Spirit. But they still accomplish the same result. It still puts out there, Lord, here's what I'm believing for. Lord, here's what I'm praying out. And He's saying, I'm going to give you those answers. And sometimes there's the gift of tongues and prophecy. So you see on stage, and a lot, it happens sometimes on Sundays where Dolly will come up and she'll give a tongue, and then Pastor George or another leader gives the interpretation, and it comes just like that. But there's other times that I've had experience where I'm praying in the Spirit, I stop, and all of a sudden there's that knowing there. You just have direction, like, that's what I'm supposed to do. And it wasn't an audible voice. It wasn't looking up a plan in a book. It was just dropped in my spirit. Okay, I know what I'm supposed to do. I know how I'm supposed to respond. And so when we're looking for answers, and when we don't have those earthly words to say, tap into your spirit. Take a minute, pray in the Spirit. Even when there's times where I was taking tests at school and I would pray under my breath. You know, I didn't take up the whole class, you know, noise and pray in the Spirit. But there's times where I just was like, Lord, I need your wisdom right now. And I'm praying in the Spirit, or walking up and down the halls of school, or if I'm out grocery shopping, or driving in my car, praying in the Spirit. There's nothing that says, okay, I can only do this when I'm in my room and the door's shut. It's your communication with God, and it should be something that's constant and that you're always doing in fellowship with Him. And sometimes, as much as I love to talk and as long as I can talk, there's times I don't have words. It's happened a lot, actually, in the last couple weeks. There just aren't words to explain what I'm feeling or what I want to articulate to someone. And so I spend more time praying in the Spirit, and just being like, Lord, You know, and I'm going to trust You. And that's where our faith comes in, is so many times we want to say what we want to happen because we want it to happen our way. But it's trusting Him that He knows what's best for us. So tapping into that Spirit and saying, Lord, reveal it to me. And He's going to give you those answers. Those things are going to come. And I'm going to wrap up with the fifth way He talks and finish the rest next week. But the fifth way is the ministry. Let's turn to Ephesians 4, verse 11. He is the one who gave these gifts to the church: the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do His work and to build up the church, the body of Christ, until we come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will mature and be full grown in the Lord, measuring up to the full stature of Christ. I've been reading this a lot lately because it explains the purpose of the church, the purpose of the gifts of the church. And that says to equip God's people to do His work and to build up the church and the body of Christ until they come to such unity and mature full growth in the Lord. And so that's the point. That's why we're all here, is that to be encouraged, to get built up, and to walk out that plan. And that's the whole purpose of why we're hearing from the voice of the Lord and continuing to talk into His plans for our life. Is because it says right here that there's things that I'm called to do, and there's people I'm called to reach. And it's us together, doing this together, coming together, identifying what we each are supposed to be doing, that's going to be accomplished. So instead of focusing on, well, what's He doing and why is He doing it that way? I should be thinking, what am I supposed to be doing? And what is my specific purpose at this time, and what am I to accomplish? And so that's the whole reason for this whole series right now, is just to identify, yes, we know the Lord speaks to us. He speaks to some a little different than he speaks to others, but he's still speaking to us. And then when we find out that he uses people, but that's not the end result. If someone came up to you and said, this is what the Lord told me for you to do, it's your responsibility to check in your spirit, that inward witness, and say, is that confirmed in my spirit? And then take it to the word, because the spirit and the word are the same. He's speaking to you the truth, and this is the truth. And so when he speaks those things to you, you confirm those things. So we have these earthly, that's called the fivefold ministry, the pastors, the prophets, the evangelists, pastors, and teachers, is that fivefold ministry. But it's also up to us to be part of that ministry. Let's look at Philippians 3:17. It says, dear brothers and sisters, pattern your lives after mine and learn from those who follow our example. So we're supposed to be learning from each other. We're supposed to be iron. Have you heard of ironing, sharpening iron? You're supposed to be growing with someone, to be teaching. And I'm teaching you and you're teaching me. And we're supposed to be growing together in this thing. And so that's the purpose of this, is we have people in ministry roles. But then we have those friends. We have those people that speak into our lives. But it doesn't mean that some random person off the street that was to come up to you, just because people tell you things doesn't mean it's true. And so that's our responsibility, to go back to these other five ways that the Lord speaks and to confirm that, to confirm it in my spirit, to confirm it in his word, to confirm it with wise counsel. If we're afraid to go to our pastor and say, someone told me this, or if we don't even want to check it in the word, then that's kind of a check in your spirit in and of itself, that maybe it's not lining up with something. Let's look at Proverbs 12:15. It says, fools think they need no advice, but the wise listen to others. There's so many times where people are like, oh, I don't need to hear that. No, I don't need to hear that. And that's rebellion, especially if it's with parents are involved or someone in authority. When someone's telling you something and you know you're supposed to submit to them, it's foolish not to receive that. Let's look at Proverbs 15:22. Plans go wrong for lack of advice. Many counselors bring success. Now, counselors are here to help lead and to guide. The ministry, like it talked about, the fivefold ministry, is here to lead and to guide and to encourage and to help. But none of that replaces what the word of the Lord is speaking to you. And that's why it's so important to know what this says and to know how he speaks to you on the inside, so that you can confirm those things. Because sometimes we seek so much counsel among our friends and peers that we don't even go to the Lord. Have you ever had something happen to you and you're like, got to pick up the phone, who should I call? And you start calling people or texting someone, this just happened, instead of going straight to the Lord, because he has those answers. And so counsel is good, but we need to make sure who we're seeking counsel from is hearing from the Lord. Because if you're going to someone asking for advice, what should I do, but they're not even tapping into the Spirit, they're not even hearing from the Lord, then that's probably not the best person to be talking to. I'm not saying not to talk to people that don't hear from the Lord, but when it comes to seeking advice and counsel, you need to be selective. It says Mary kept things in her heart. She didn't go around telling everybody her secrets. She didn't go around telling everybody about the baby that was inside of her, or what the Lord had told her, that she was giving birth to the promised one. She didn't tell everybody. She kept some things in her heart. And so that's the same with us, is sometimes we're so quick to speak instead of keeping those things in our heart, or to say, Lord, what do you think about this, before we go to earthly counsel? Because then they can confirm whether or not what he said is true, instead of us going to people first and then being like, oh yeah, Lord, what do you think about that? So we need to pattern ourselves. There's times where I pick up the phone, I got to call mom, and I'm like, hold on, God's right here with me. He's on the inside. He heard that conversation. I'm going to listen to him. And so people are good. He puts them in our lives. We're here for each other. But we need to check those things against the word to make sure that it does line up with the word of God. Amen? Well, I had plenty of more I could say, but I'm going to save that for next week. Tonight we talked about how the Lord speaks, and those are five different ways that he speaks. And next week we'll continue on with how specifically to hear his voice, how to identify it, and how to walk it out by faith. And then we'll continue on into the message about the blessing, his plan for your life. But real quick, if everyone could stand with me. I wanted to read you, Pastor George gave me some notes, and it was titled, Shh, How to Hear the Voice of the Lord. And it was titled, A Word from the Lord. It says, My deepest desire is to fellowship with you. This is the Lord sharing his heart with you. To help you day by day, to guide you, to help you overcome. I want you to fulfill my plan and purpose for your life. I will speak to you through my word. I will speak to you through your spirit. I will speak to you by men and women of God. I want you to have what Adam and Eve had in the garden. I want you to have what I have with my son. I want to communicate with you daily, moment by moment. I want to get you the information you need to be a success and to overcome all. And so that's his heart for you in all of this. That's why we're doing this, is so that we can hear all those good things, that we know that he has a plan for our life, that he wants good things for our life. And that's what he wants. So I'm going to say a real quick confession to help build your spirit up. Repeat after me. I am led by the Spirit of God.
I am led by the Spirit of God.
He leads me every day.
He guides me.
He directs me.
He shows me his plans.
His purposes.
His vision for my life.
I am spirit conscious.
God inside minded.
Sensitive to the leadings of the Holy Spirit.
I am aware of my inward witness.
I am led by the Spirit of God. So I want you guys to be encouraged tonight that you do hear the voice of the Lord. And just because someone hears something different doesn't mean that the way you hear is wrong. It's just different. And so get used to hearing that. This week, as you're going throughout your day, practice on the little things. So many times we wait to hear his voice when we want to know, where am I supposed to go to college? What job am I supposed to take? Where am I supposed to move? Who am I supposed to marry? And we wait for those moments to hear his voice in these audible ways. But ask him tomorrow morning, what are you supposed to wear? Ask him tomorrow, what am I supposed to eat? When you're at school and you're eating Twinkies and Ho-Hos and ding-dongs and gummy bears and all these things for lunch, just ask him. Ask him if you're supposed to be eating that. I dare you. And then when you're going on your third Dr. Pepper for the day, just ask him, do you need that? Or do you just want it? You're laughing though, but true. When these little things, if you practice hearing his voice on those small things, these big things aren't going to be so monumental in your eyes. They're just going to be a, Lord, is this where I'm supposed to go? And you have the direction, yes, I'm supposed to go there. Lord, is this who I'm supposed to spend the rest of my life with? Yes, and you have that peace in you. Instead of putting these big things up high and saying, those are big things I'm believing for, talk to him in the little things. When you have two options to go to school in the morning, to go left or to go right, ask him which direction you're supposed to go. There's been times I have two ways to get to work. And each day it's kind of that gamble. Do I go left or do I go right? And a few times he said, go right. And I normally go left. And I went left that day. And there was two trains. And I stood there for 10 minutes because they were slow trains. Had I listened, I would have gone the right way. It takes 2 minutes longer without trains, but I would have been there a lot faster. And you're like, well, that's just driving to work. Well, what if one day he says go left and you go right and you witness an accident? How many of you have driven by an accident and gone, man, if I wasn't 2 minutes late, that could have been me? That's the Lord speaking to you, saying don't go there or go this way. He's helping you avoid things. So it's not only he's helping you get somewhere, he's helping you get away from and to protect you from things. So practice this week. Tomorrow, ask him some things, those small things that seem insignificant to you, just to start training yourself to say, I do hear the Lord.
1440 is a ministry of Eagle Mountain Church. For more information, or if you have questions about what you have heard here, visit 1440.com or email staff@1440.com.